Coming up on this episode of Disneyland Weekly, details are released regarding Pixar Pier, holiday offerings are starting soon.
Plus more parking changes, and we discuss our thoughts on Pixar Pier. Disneyland Weekly starts now.
This is Disneyland Weekly.
Hello and welcome to this episode of Disneyland Weekly, episode 6 for the week of November 8th, 2017. I'm Teg Bushman.
And I'm Teresa Urban. We would like to thank Ebony for becoming a patron. It's patrons like Ebony who keep us bringing the show to you each and every week. To find out how you can become a patron, please go to disneylandweekly.com/support.
Thank you for listening this week. If you enjoy the show, please log into iTunes and rate the show and leave a review. It really helps us to get more listeners so we can keep bringing you Disneyland news and information each week. Now, let's get to the news.
Holidays at the Disneyland Resort officially begins Thursday, November 9th and runs through January 7th, 2018. The day after Halloween, most of the decorations from that holiday have already been removed and Christmas has begun to move in. Apparently, we have all forgotten about Thanksgiving.
Disney California Adventure's Festival of Holidays returns with over 60 different food and drink selections served from 12 different booths. For a full listing of food and beverages and locations, visit the link we have in the show notes.
Happy birthday, Mickey. His birthday is this Saturday, November 18th, and Disneyland will celebrate the occasion with a character cavalcade and a performance by the Disneyland Band. Park visitors will also receive a commemorative Happy Birthday, Mickey button.
Disney has released details about the Paradise Pier retheme called Pixar Pier. This will be a permanent makeover for that section of Disney California Adventure. Paradise Pier will be divided into four neighborhoods. The first of the neighborhoods was inspired by The Incredibles. California Screamin' will be rethemed The Incredicoaster with new ride vehicles, effects, load area, and what Disney is calling a character moment. The Toy Story neighborhood includes Toy Story Midway Mania, which looks to include King Triton's carousel.
A new Inside Out based ride is coming to the area once occupied by the Maliboomer. The concept art shows this as being a spinner attraction like Flick's Flyers in A Bug's Land. This attraction will not open with the redesign. The fourth neighborhood is themed to the rest of Pixar's films and shorts. Mickey's Fun Wheel will still have Mickey's face looking out over Paradise Bay, and the gondolas will be painted with Pixar characters. The Games of the Boardwalk will get a makeover inspired by A Bug's Life, La Luna, and Wall-E. Ariel's Grotto and the Cove Bar will also close on January 8th.
Everything from Silly Symphony Swings to the Little Mermaid Ariel's Undersea Adventure will become a new land called Paradise Park. California Screamin', Mickey's Fun Wheel, Ariel's Grotto, the Cove Bar, Games of the Boardwalk, and Sideshow Shirts will close on January 8th to begin the transformation. The new land is expected to debut during Pixar Fest, which begins April 13th, though the Incredicoaster will open in June around the release of The Incredibles 2.
Effective Monday, November 6th, guests will receive 3 hours of free parking with a single minimum purchase of $20 at any downtown Disney location, including quick service and kiosk locations. This is an increase from 2 hours. Guests who dine at table service restaurants or see a movie at the AMC theaters will receive 5 hours of free parking with validation, up from 4 hours. The rest of the parking policy remains the same. Hours after the validation period will be $12 per hour, charged in 30-minute increments with a daily maximum of $48. A 15-minute grace period will be provided for dropping off or picking up, while a minimum $6 will be charged after the 15-minute grace period.
Keep your eye on the globe.
Our discussion topic this week, of course, is Pixar Pier. So after reading up about it and hearing about it, I know it was announced back at D23, but now we've got some actual details here. What do you think, Teresa?
I'm excited. Like I have said before, I kind of always ignore that area of Disney California Adventure because I don't really understand why I'm going to a Disney park to go play boardwalk games and to kind of be like in a carnival. So I'm glad that it's got some theming to it. I think Disney California Adventure in general needed better theming because it's just kind of random. So I'm glad that they're doing things to kind of bring the areas more together, like Disneyland.
I can agree with you, but looking at the concept art, we're not really getting anything new out of this. The only thing we're getting new is the Inside Out attraction that might show up at the end of the pier, but that's not even going to open with the whole retheme.
Well, I'm curious what the Incredicoaster is going to be. I feel like they kind of have to do something more than what California Screamin' is, because I don't think California Screamin' really equates to The Incredibles. It's not, I mean, unless they're going to say that you're flying, but none of those characters really...
Well, one of the original thoughts I saw was that it was going to be like Dash.
Oh, yeah.
So, I mean, I don't know. To me, I'm looking at the concept art. There's a link in our show notes if you're interested to a couple different places that has the show, that has the drawings from Disney, and a couple from a couple different places that have different zoomed in levels, which I thought was really important. But looking at it, I mean, California Screamin' doesn't look like there's any track changes or anything. It looks like maybe it gets a repaint. It goes from blue to red. The track stays white. The cars, in fact, the cars, even if you look at the car, if you look in some of the concept drawings of the cars kind of just look like the same roller coaster cars that they are now, just repainted differently. So I don't know if when Disney says they're getting new cars, I don't know if it means like actual new trains or they're just going to repaint and it's new trains, kind of like the new monorails, which are basically just reworks of the old monorails. So I don't know. I think this area of the park does need some attention. I'm just not sure if this is going to be enough, because really we're not getting anything new out of it. It's just a paint job.
Well, it's a start at least,
I suppose. The one thing that I thought was interesting was the Cove Bar is closing down for a retheme, and they just expanded the area, and it's always very popular. There's always lines there. I don't really understand why people like it so much. I guess the view there is kind of nice or whatever, but I'm not sure about them closing it down for any amount of time. That's going to be an interesting idea. I do think the retheming of the queue area for the Incredicoaster is going to be good.
Yeah, that looks nice.
Yeah, it looks a lot better than the weird thing they got there now.
Well, I feel now you feel like you're at a different theme park. Like, you feel like you're in Six Flags or wherever else. But you just kind of stand. It's not themed at all. You're just standing on cement in this switchback thing, and it's hot, and it's not fun. And, yeah, so I'm glad that they're doing something more with the area.
Yeah, looking at the concept drawing, it doesn't look like the themed... It doesn't look like the main queue area is really going to change too much, unfortunately. It still looks like it's a concrete switchback. But the loading zone area, the roof and stuff, it definitely adds a little bit more of an interesting look to it. I'm interested to see what they do with King Triton's Carousel, because the couple pictures I have in front of me of that looks like it's kind of blocked in. You know, it's not open to the surrounding area. It just kind of looks like it's surrounded. So I'm not sure what that's going to be there. The Inside Out attraction at the end kind of looks boring. I mean, if it's just
it looks interesting. It's going to be a kid's ride, I think. But I like the concept of it, because they're back in the deep storage of the memory with all the little glowing balls, and you're kind of, I don't know. Do you remember the movie?
Yeah, no, I remember the movie. And, you know, I'm not saying the theming is bad. I'm just saying, with something like Inside Out, I know people have been saying for a while now that they'd want something from Inside Out, because it was such a good movie and people did really enjoy it, that there should be something more than this, like,
gotcha,
spinner ride.
Gotcha, I see what you mean.
Unfortunately. I mean, I don't know.
I feel bad, because with being a Disney Imagineer, how is the balance, and where's the balance point for thrill rides versus kids' rides?
Well, you know, you can make a kids' ride that's not something that's, like, off the shelf. I would say that none of the dark rides in Fantasyland are like anything you get anywhere else.
You're totally
so immersed. You could do a Inside Out dark ride.
Where would you put it?
Well, that's the question, right? I mean, you could put, there is that expansion area at the eastern side of the park there, in the Helix, behind the Incredicoaster loading area, that right now is just kind of sand. The expansion pad thing I was kind of pointing before the show, yep. I was showing you that. You could put it kind of back there. I mean, that's what they did with Toy Story Midway Mania, is they built that basically under the roller coaster. Mm-hmm. I mean, because that wasn't there when the park opened. I don't know. The other problem I have with this Pixar Pier, first of all, I'm really, really glad that they did not take Mickey off the Fun Wheel and they named it and they kept it Mickey's Fun Wheel, because in some of the concept drawings, it was going to be called, like, you know, the Luxo Wheel, you know, the little dancing lamp.
Oh, sure.
And I don't know. I think they've really worked Mickey Mouse into the Fun Wheel really well. I think they've worked it into World of Color really well. Like, I like Mickey being there. And I think that if they were to change that and put, like, Luxo there, that kind of feeds into the other part of the problem that I have with this, which is Disney California Adventure is just, like, turning into, like, Pixar land. Because, like, Cars Land is all Pixar.
That's true.
A lot of the, you know, they had the Pixar Play Parade there that's now moving back over to Disneyland for the Pixar Fest. Now they've got this whole section that's going to be Pixar. It's like, okay, so maybe don't call it Disney California Adventure anymore. Maybe call it Pixar Land or
right, right, yeah,
the World of Pixar or something. I don't know. I don't like. I like a variety, and I feel like they just keep slapping. They go too far with one concept, I guess. And I'd rather have variety. So I'd rather have, you know, a little bit of Pixar, a little bit of Disney animation, a little bit of Disney computer animation. What I really wish Disney would do at any of their parks is I wish they would bring back creative, original ideas that don't already exist with intellectual property. Pirates of the Caribbean, Haunted Mansion, Jungle Cruise, all those classics. Yeah. Were not anything before.
No, I mean, they've become movies now, but yeah. The movies were because of the rides. Because rides, yeah, you're right, have been there for years and years.
Yeah, yeah, it's just one of those things where it's been a long time in the United States anyway since we've seen an attraction that was built specifically for the park.
For the sake of being an attraction. Yep, I get what you're saying. I do kind of have to disagree with you a little. I do like that. Disneyland is all Disney themed and we don't have too much Pixar animation over there. I do like that it's separated just because the feels of those movies to me are different.
Yep.
So it kind of makes sense to me to kind of lump all the Pixar things together and lump all the classic Disney stuff together. I do, like I said, I'm just happy that they're actually doing more theming with California Adventure, the park as a whole, because the thing before was just kind of, I felt a little haphazardly thrown together. So it's nice that it finally feels like it's coming together a bit more. Now, if they could just do something, which I'm sure they will, but if they could just do something over by what used to be known as the Tower of Terror, which is now the Galaxy's.
Oh, Hollywoodland.
Yeah, if they could just kind of, because I felt like that one was finally coming together. And then when they switched it to the Guardians of the Galaxy themed, right, then it kind of threw that theming off.
Yeah.
So if they could just kind of tie that back together, then I think
well, you know, that's the best chance. That section of the park is the best chance that they have to totally take some vision in a totally different direction. Because, you know, I was just thinking about this as you were saying that, you know, Pixar Pier. OK, so let's say if we wanted to get rid of the cheap kind of idea that the cheap remnants from the original California Adventure. I think Mickey's Fun Wheel can stay. People like a Ferris wheel. Like, it's not a big deal. It's kind of themed
different.
To Mickey.
It's got those funky ones that kind of go all over the place.
Right. So I get that. People love California Screamin'. I love California Screamin'. Like, mm-hmm. I would never say get rid of California Screamin'. I do like it. I do think it's a good coaster. I do think it's very un-Disney-like, but at the same time, it's there. Keep it. People are okay with it now.
You know, it's okay to have it there too, because you get a lot of people, a lot of naysayers that don't like Disneyland or Disney World because they are the thrill ride people. They like the Universal rides. They like the Six Flag rides. So it's nice to have something in there for those people.
Yeah, but that's why there is a Six Flags
and
a Universal.
That is true.
I think they're sort of catering to different kind of people. You know, Disney parks are kind of trying to broadly cater to everyone.
Well, and they're catering more to the imagination, I feel, because you're very immersed when you go to one of those parks. Whereas, say for instance, I went to Universal a couple years back. We went to Disney World and Universal in the same week. And it was interesting because we did Disney World first. We did 4 days of Disney World, and then our fifth day was spent at Universal. And my uncle, who had never been to either park, who's actually an engineer, it was just so funny to me because it was pouring rain when we went to Universal, and he was just grumbling. He's like, oh, there's puddles everywhere. You'd never see this in Disney World. They have a great, you know, whatever. It was so hilarious to me. But it felt awkward walking through, because we were only there for Wizarding World.
Right.
Felt awkward walking through their different theme sections, because it was just very, like, suddenly you're in Springfield, Illinois with The Simpsons, and then you're in, like, Dr. Seuss land, and then, mm-hmm. I mean, it was
Jurassic
awkward
World
to me, because, like,
Park,
it was like you took one step and boom, you were somewhere else. Where mm-hmm. I don't know. I like how Disney has their theming, but it makes sense.
Well, and they have good transitions. Mm-hmm. You know, if you're walking, if you go from Main Street to Adventureland, it's kind of you don't even really realize that the theming and stuff is changing. Like, it's gradual enough,
right,
even in such a small area. And I kind of made that argument when I went to Disney World. Magic Kingdom specifically, I don't think Magic Kingdom quite does it as well as Disneyland does.
Yeah.
And I think that's just from growing organically over so long. Now, but if you wanted to take out some of that stuff, though, you look at Paradise Pier right now. You know, the carousel there, I think you could get rid of the carousel. I think that could be reclaimed land. I don't think it's that popular. If you want a carousel, you can go to King Triton's carousel.
Yeah.
I think that Midway Mania, I think, should stay. It's very popular. It always has lines.
Well, isn't that King Triton's carousel and they're retheming it? Or is there
They are retheming it. What I'm saying is you could get rid of it.
Oh, just get rid of it totally.
And use that space for something.
Sure. Oh, yeah. Your Pixar ride could go, or your Inside Out ride could
go. Yeah. You know, that could be like the beginning part of it or whatever. You know, so there's that part. There's that whole section that's the games of the boardwalk and a couple little shops there. You could, again, put some type of dark ride or something back there. Because dark rides don't take up that much space. If you look at Fantasyland, there's a bunch of dark rides there. And that's not a very big area, really.
No.
And you've got Alice and Toad and Peter Pan and Snow White's Scary Adventures and Pinocchio. All of that is in Fantasyland right there, and it doesn't take up that much space. You could probably fit two dark rides in that like little section over there. I am glad, even though it's not going to open with the with Pixar Pier opening in April, that they are doing that Inside Out ride, because that section has been empty since the Malibu-mer, and they keep talking about how we're going to put something there. And originally it was going to be like a little park that people could sit at or whatever. And then there was going to be something else, and then there was going to be something else. So it's good that they're finally using that little space, especially at Disneyland. They're so strained by the amount of room they have. So you really got to use every bit of room that you have, and you got to really be smart about it. One thing that I always thought was kind of interesting about this whole area, and even the Pacific Wharf area, which looking at this concept drawing is not included in this, but if you were looking at this concept drawing, if it was in the foreground off to the side a little bit, there's that whole other section of water. I mean, I felt like they put a lot of water in this park that just took up a lot of space. And now you can't ever get rid of that, because World of Color, they're never going to get rid of that big lagoon.
But they don't use that whole, I mean, how much of that do they actually use for World of Color? Because when you look at a satellite image and you look at the, I don't know, I guess the pad or the area that has all of the jets in it, it's not that big. I was almost thinking and wondering, is it maybe in the future that they're going to do some sort of, I don't know, some sort of water type, right? You know, some sort of ride that has to do, I don't want it, not like bumper boats, but, you know, something that, some sort of water ride. Would they use one of these sections or one of these corners of the lagoon? Because there's a lot of lagoon that doesn't really need to be there. Like, see those little corner jet, I don't know. I don't even know how to describe what I'm looking at.
Yeah, I know what you're saying.
So like the corners, I guess, of the lagoon, there's nothing there. I don't know why that water needs to be
there. Yeah, well, between Aereo's Grotto and Paradise Park, which is the viewing area for World of Color, there's a section there you could do something with. There's the section over by the Silly Symphony Swings and the Golden Zephyr. See, that's another thing.
Do you need all that space? Because I don't know. I'm not a water
person. Maybe the fireworks or something.
Well,
I'm not sure.
Like how much water do you need to suck up into your jets to do World of Color?
I don't think that's gonna. Yeah, I think you can make a smaller lagoon and it's not a big deal. But, you know, that brings up the next section. You know, there's that whole section in that corner of the park past the Paradise Gardens, which is great. They rethemed that area just a few years ago, and I think it looks great. But now, you know, there's some expansion area there. You know, if you get rid of Goofy's Sky School, which is just a wild mouse coaster, you could put something back there. There's the Corndog Castle and like a little souvenir shop. You could, again, do the same kind of thing there. Across the pathway from that, you know, is the Golden Zephyr and the Jumpin' Jellyfish and the Silly Symphony Swings. You could take that whole section and put something there, because those aren't great attractions. I mean, when I think of California Adventure, I like never think of these attractions unless I'm like walking by them and I'm like, oh, look, there's no line for Golden Zephyr. Why not?
Sure.
There's Jumping Jellyfish. We're adults, but I think it's kind of fun to be ridiculous and ride these. You know, there's, Silly Symphony Swings is fine. You know, it's whatever. There's a lot of wasted space, I think, that they could use to expand more stuff in the future. And I hope they do. And I hope that this Pixar Pier
is the beginning.
Retheme is the beginning of, you know, kind of going in that direction. We'll have to see. Do you have any thoughts on anything that they might add or do differently in that section? Or is there anything from this concept drawing that you were surprised by or not surprised by? Or
I don't know. I guess it's nice. I like it. I agree with you. I think there's a lot of space that could be used better. Like, I don't know. I don't spend much time in when I'm at the park, I'm at the park. So I'm doing stuff. I don't spend much time in the shops or in the restaurants or whatever. Because another area that I kind of don't understand why there's so much space devoted to is the, what is that restaurant that they're closing? Not the Grotto.
The Cove Bar?
Yeah, the Cove Bar. Like, that's a huge...
It's really popular.
Is it? It's a big space.
They just expanded it because... People have been lining for it. And like I said earlier, I don't understand.
Well, I'm not those people.
Yeah, me either. I don't understand why people like it so much, but people do. And I guess that's enough for them, yeah. Which, you know.
People like to peruse. They like to, I get it, but that's just not me. So I'm like looking at the space thinking, oh, but you could do so much more. You could be doing this, or whatever. But
well, that whole section, now that I'm looking at the map, and I know we've kind of gotten away from the Pixar Pier area, but, you know, there's that whole section kind of like I was saying, a little bit further towards, you know, Cars Land there, where... you know, you got the Lucky Fortune Cookery and the Pacific Work Cafe. Yeah,
that's a lot of space for a lot. I mean, there's a lot of food over in Disney California Adventure.
There is. So they could retheme some of that and expand into that. I mean, I don't see why not. You could even connect Paradise Pier if you got rid of the extra little access driveway there. You could actually just kind of expand into that area.
Well, and that makes sense since Cars is Pixar.
True. Yeah, you'd definitely connect it. Yeah, I think, you know, since the park's creation, you know, Paradise Pier, soon to be Pixar Pier, has definitely been, I think, one of the weakest places.
Well, let's face it, I think most of California Adventure has been pretty weak, but I never understood why they, I mean, I guess they're trying to recreate the boardwalk, but I don't understand why you recreate something that's really not too far from where you're at, especially since, like we've talked about before, most of the people that visit Disneyland are California natives. So if they want to go to the boardwalk, they're gonna go to the boardwalk. They're not gonna go to Paradise Pier or Pixar Pier.
Cheaper.
And a lot cheaper.
You don't have to pay $20-something for parking, and then, you know, even if you have an annual pass, you kind of want to go see the real thing.
But then again, last time I was there was with smaller children, and they thought that it was fun to go over there and play the games and all that stuff. So I get it. It does kind of have a space. Do I think it has a space? Do I go over there? No, but the park's, I guess, not all about me, which...
Well, you also have to remember, we are talking about Disney, and as much as I love Disney, it's all about making money, and those things make money and don't cost hardly anything to run. You know, you pay a cast member, you know, even... And I'm sure we might get some angry comments about this, but even if you pay your cast member $10 or $11 an hour, which I don't think they get paid that much, but let's just pretend they do, that doesn't cost, you know, if they're open 12 hours a day, they spend $120, you know, $150, and they probably make more than that with people, little kids going, I want to play the shooting game.
But even like that aside, we'll just make this our field trip, and we can say that it was work-related. We're going to go to Pixar Pier or Paradise Pier, whatever it is, when we get there, we'll just sit over at those games with our little count clicker things and see how many people actually go over there, because maybe there's a whole plethora of people that go. Maybe it is really popular and it's not for us, and so we don't go over there.
You know what's really sad? If I lived near Disneyland, I love people watching. I love people watching.
I would do it too.
I would go sit on Main Street and just watch people. Mm-hmm. I'd go sit on Buena Vista Street. I'd just watch people. I would take in all those shows that a lot of people, like when we're there, you know, we want to hit all the attractions, we want to hit the big shows, but there's a lot of like little street performances. There's all those characters on Buena Vista Street you can deal with. I've never seen a whole performance of Dapper Dans. I've like walked by and been like, oh, that's kind of cool. Indiana Jones.
Exactly. No, I'm the same way.
So, you know, if we lived down there, my butt would be there all the time.
Every weekend. Are you kidding?
Oh yeah. And I'd be after work or after school, you're tired from it, whatever. We could be doing this episode from the park.
If only.
Yeah, I'm sure Disney would see us with two microphones and a laptop and be like,
what are you doing?
I don't know if you're allowed to do that. Which, totally, again, off topic, because we're great at that. The guy that I watch that does videos in Disney World, Tim Tracker, if any of you like theme park attraction videos, you should definitely subscribe to the Tim Tracker on YouTube. He does. He lives in Orlando. Tim and his wife, Jen, make all these cool videos, and I like to watch them. And he covers everything, all the Universal parks, SeaWorld. They went to literally everything that was going on in Florida for Halloween. So that was pretty cool. So even small stuff that's local, I highly recommend checking them out. They actually went for Halloween to Disneyland and California Adventure. So they have some videos about that stuff too. So he got told This last week in Magic Kingdom, somebody stopped him because he has a lot of subscribers on YouTube, and somebody stopped him. One of the you know, somebody who knew him from YouTube and wanted to take a picture with him. Well, apparently there was like two families or something, and they tried to take a picture. Well, theme park security or management came up and told him that he cannot take pictures with people in the park anymore.
What?
Yeah, because it was like a like.
So he's causing a ruckus kind of thing.
I don't know. Huh. I don't know. He's very, if you look him up online, he's got, I'll put a link in our show notes. He's got a, like a handlebar mustache. So he's very, easy to pick out of a crowd.
Very distinguished.
Very distinguished. Yep. And so, you know, like I said, a lot of people watch him and I just couldn't believe that.
That's interesting. Cause I thought Mice Chat does events in the parks.
I think
that
must be sanctioned though.
Yeah, I was like, gonna say they must like talk to Disneyland and like get permission.
But see, that's different. Cause that's like, okay. So, you get the, why can't I think of it? Well, you got Dapper Day that just happened.
Yeah.
You get, they do like a Gothic Day, but I can't remember what it's called. But all the people dress up, sure, and they do a lot of Nightmare Before Christmas kind of stuff.
See, again, that's why we need to have a Nightmare Before Christmas land.
Yep.
Halloween Town.
I'm still, dude, Toontown, turn it into Halloween Town.
I'm just going to keep every episode, I'm going to keep saying that, because maybe one of these days.
We're going to get a cease and desist from.
from Imagineer will hear, and they'll say, that's genius.
Even Luna thinks so. So,
well, what are your thoughts?
Yes, what are your thoughts? Let us know on Twitter or Facebook, or send us an email at feedback@disneylandweekly.com. We would love to hear what your thoughts are on Paradise Pier, now Pixar Pier. What do you guys think they should do with the whole area? What is the weakest part of California Adventure that you could think of? What do you think they should do after Pixar Pier? Is Pixar Pier enough of a change for that area? Let us know. Once again, I would like to thank Ebony for becoming a patron this week. If you would like
thanks Ebony.
If you would like to be called out on the show, you can also become a patron. Go to our website at disneylandweekly.com/support to find out how. Before we wrap up this week, we'd like to ask for your help in setting milestones for perks for being a patron over at Patreon. We have already added a new level that will give you access to our monthly outtakes, which are pretty funny if you ask me. In fact, there is quite a few tonight that will end up in that episode for this month. If you have any ideas or things you'd like from us for supporting the show other than making the show each week, please let us know by sending us an email at feedback@disneylandweekly.com.
That is all we have for you this week. We are entirely supported by the listeners and not advertisements. So if you find value in the news, information, and discussion that we bring to you each week, please consider supporting us with just a dollar, which is about 25 cents per episode, by going to our website at disneylandweekly.com/support to find out how.
You can help the podcast by leaving a review on iTunes, as that really helps get our podcast out there. If you want to keep up with the podcast, you can follow us on Facebook by searching for Disneyland Weekly, on Twitter at DL Weekly, or sending us an email at feedback@disneylandweekly.com.
We will be back next week with more Disneyland news and information.
So until then, go out and enjoy the parks.
Ladies and gentlemen, Disneyland has now ended its normal operating day. We hope you've enjoyed your visit to the Magic Kingdom and that you'll be back with us again soon.